everybody. Welcome to Wallace Hartley Presents the podcast. My name's Glenn Lamont, and I'm your host, and this is our co-host, Harge.
Army matey, Wallace Hartley, went down with the ship. We're coming down to you, straight to you, from 6,000 fathoms below the deep. Does that work?
I know, that's why I was thinking about pirates myself.
Yep.
I don't know why.
You know, right now, we're not going to hear it, because I'm going to delete it in the post, but there's the sound of children playing.
Yes,
and it warms my heart. They were talking about pirates.
Yep.
And I heard some Yarmy mateys out there.
Well, my daughter knows how to yarr.
She knows how to yarr?
Yeah.
I
Army mateys!
But I heard something that was disturbing. I thought I heard them talk about ass pirates for a second, but...
no, I don't think so.
I was mistaken.
No. That's just where your mind goes. Hey, we got a great show for you today. Here are some of the things we'll be delving into. First of all, COVID-19 and the economy, and a thing called degrowth.
COVID-19, is that even still a fucking thing?
It is. Yes, we're still in the midst of it.
I thought racism is the new thing.
Well, and the pandemic.
Oh,
racism coupled with the pandemic. And, and then, of course, you just told me now that when I brought this up, you were familiar with what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything about this. The Boogaloo movement.
Oh, the Boogaloo. Electric Boogaloo 2.
Yeah, and other horrible sequels.
Yeah.
And this is another one of these subreddit 8chan things that came out of nowhere. And on that note, we're also going to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the earlier subreddit groups like the Incels.
Okay.
And Gamergate.
Gamergate, yeah.
Do you remember Gamergate?
Faintly.
I think you would really have to be a gamer. Like, not a guy who'd, like, once in a while plays, Grand Theft Auto on the weekend or something. I mean, like, serious, hardcore gamer.
I'm a gamer. I play games, but then I think there's a whole subculture of people who don't necessarily play games. They buy games. They fucking talk about games. And
yeah.
Their life surrounds fucking the creation and
it's
culture
weird,
of games.
It's weird, man. There is so much stuff on these like, what do they call them? Boards?
Bulletin boards, yeah.
Bulletin
forums.
Boards. Yeah, forums. Subreddits. There's like whole other worlds.
Like subcultures. Whatever you're into that you thought was weird, if you go out there, someone else into it,
kid.
And you can pass the day away arguing, bickering, reminiscing. It makes me think.
Plotting to overthrow the world. Yeah. That's another big one.
Yeah, that's a fucking, that's a LARP.
But,
LARP.
But how are you?
I'm, my neck is sore.
Do I want to know?
I'm old.
I'm old.
Well, you're old as fuck. I'm just old. I think, you hear about mental health a lot.
Yeah.
Number one thing you can do for your fucking mental health
is
throw your phone as far from your body as you can.
Yes.
Make sure it's fucking destroyed.
Yes.
Don't go on the internet. If you're listening to this podcast right now, fucking turn it off. Because if you don't, you got a fucking problem. If you can't turn it off, you got a fucking problem.
Yeah. Hello.
Okay.
Don't tell them to turn off the podcast.
Digital detox.
Yes, I agree. Have you ever left your phone at home? Like, inadvertently?
Yes, I have.
And the first time that happened for me, I was like, oh, crap, my phone!
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of went, oh, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can call me.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is good. This is a good thing. It was the most relaxing day I have ever spent.
Well, I can imagine that, but I think that you have more consistent integrity than I do, based on a certain history of illicit activities that I have going back. If I leave my phone at home, the assumption on the part of my loved ones is I'm missing, holed up in an SRO somewhere, yeah, doing terrible things with horrible fucking people.
He doesn't want to be found.
I don't want to be found. I'm not picking up.
Or he sold it.
Or, yeah, $20. You know what? It's like, no matter what the fucking phone is, you're only getting $20 for it.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I had, and people steal some shit that, in the downtown east side, that, I don't know, they managed to sell. I know a guy, like, right almost in front of me, stole, not in front of me, but, walked out the back door with a however many gallon thing of cooking oil.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. It's heavy.
Yeah.
And it's like, where are you going to sell that?
Well, I mean, fucking.
And you just do.
One of the classic scams was stealing bricks of cheese from Save-On, Safeway, or Costco. And where do you sell them? To the fucking, to the ghetto sliced pizza joints.
Yeah.
They sell two slices for $1 or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
You do what you got to do.
Yes, you do. So, yeah, it's a good thing to, technical detox, whatever you want to call it. But don't listen to him. If you're listening to the podcast, keep listening.
Yeah.
We need listeners.
Yeah. Best year of my life. I remember the first year I got clean this last time.
Yeah.
Took 1 year off of media because at that time I was like, I was on this addiction kick. It wasn't just drug addiction. It's like, I saw addiction everywhere. I saw addiction in how I consume media, how I fucking tackled the computer. So I was like, that's it. I'm going off the phone. So I had a fucking flip phone. You remember I had that flip phone?
Yeah, I know. But see, when I see a flip phone, I'm like, oh, burner. You got to be a dealer, right?
Yeah. But
or a spy.
The terrible thing about the flip phone was that I didn't really know how to operate it, and I was just ass dialing everyone all the fucking time. And I don't know. I got a shitty mouth, and a lot of people heard things that they didn't necessarily need to fucking hear. It was just a fucking apology train for about 12 months.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's my thing that before we get started on any of our topics today, Trump.
My man.
He seriously is now, I think, losing it. Like, before, you know, there was a lot of rumor and speculation, but, so did you see?
You think he had it at some point?
Well, he must
have. He's got something,
but, so there's a video footage of him, being escorted down this ramp by a U.S. Marine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking like, well, first of all, during the speech, it was, I think, a commencement speech or graduation or some shit.
I wish Trump spoke at my graduation.
Oh, God, could you imagine?
It'd be epic.
Could you imagine? Well, anybody, I'm not even going to go there. So anyways, first of all, what they show on the footage is he really was struggling to have a sip of water from a glass of water. Yeah. So, like, stroke-like.
Yeah.
And then walking down this ramp, like, very, very slowly. And so, you know, and now there's this splinter group in the Republican Party that is jumping all over this.
What, they're saying that he's physically unfit?
Well, yeah, they're saying, we want to know what's wrong. Well, we want to know why we should nominate you again, you know, if you're keeping your poor physical health from us.
Well,
essentially,
I think here's a mild conspiracy that I've heard before about Donald Trump and use of stimulants. There's a picture on Twitter. Maybe I can link to it in the show notes later of Donald Trump signing a presidential order, and behind him are drawers that are open, and inside the drawer are boxes upon boxes of a type of Sudafed that's available only in the UK, I think, right now. High doses of pseudoephedrine.
But that's what they use to make crank.
Yes, it is. It is crystal. It is the precursor to crystal. There's also rumors going back that Trump was using stimulants for longer than recommended periods of time as quote-unquote weight loss drugs. Now, I know a fucking jib head when I see one, or a crank head. And this guy He's like, he's Hitler-esque in his fucking ability to sit up there, talk, get fucking riled
oh,
up,
yeah.
go off the cuff. I also know from, perhaps I know from personal experience what it's like to come down off that shit. And I am a life physical man. I'm pretty good health. But coming off speed one day, it's like fucking shuffling. I'm shuffling. I don't want to fall down the steps.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know
There's
that.
My theory. He took a day off.
Oh.
He took a day off.
Oh, that could be.
Took a day off.
But he is old. And fat.
But he's on meth.
And stupid. Oh, that's scary. A guy like him on meth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, stimulants were never my thing.
No. A lot of people on stimulants these days.
Yeah, no, yeah. never. I a couple of times, and it just made me like, oh, I think I'm having a heart attack.
Yeah.
This is not recreational to me. Yeah,
no. And it's the perfect capitalist drug. Go, go, go. Work, work, work. Do yeah. more, do more,
that's
do more.
True.
Which is kind of what we'll be talking about in a little bit.
But you're right, that behavior, that's one of my all-time, that is my favorite, maybe not quite, but one of my favorite scenes from Breaking Bad,
mm-hmm.
where they're trying to get their product back, mm-hmm. and these meth heads have it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and Jesse goes, don't worry, I'll handle this.
Mm-hmm.
And he just starts digging a hole in the front lawn.
Yeah.
And eventually the guy comes out.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, help me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so just digging for nothing.
Yeah. You just got to be doing something.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the case with Trump sometimes, and that doing something usually running his
mouth. That's a really interesting theory. And entirely plausible.
Yeah.
So either way, I just hope
we didn't come up with it. It's just
his sorry.
It fits
his sorry, lame, capitalist, racist, stupid ass doesn't get voted in again. America can just like pack up and go home if they vote for him again.
Pre-COVID, I was. If we had to place bets, I would have placed a large wager. That he would get in again.
Yeah.
I'm starting to have some doubts, but I don't
underestimate.
I don't. A lot of shit can happen between now and November.
Well, the thing is, the Americans, you know, when they want, well, not the Americans,
mm-hmm.
the Republicans, the far right, you know, when they want to get shit done, mm-hmm. they want somebody in power, they will do all kinds of things. I mean, you know, they're always messing with like the voters' rights.
Yeah, voter suppression.
Yeah, that's a, you know what I mean? They've been doing that forever.
Yeah, and they've been explicit with that. It's like the less number of people vote, the higher probability that they'll win. And that's
yeah.
their mission.
Yeah,
to make
yeah,
sure that
for
people
sure.
won't vote.
But yeah, I don't think there's a way out this time, honestly. And like I said, there's this little splinter group in the GOP called the Lincoln something,
mm-hmm.
and they are all just basically, you know, that like staunch conservatives,
mm-hmm.
but they're like, no, we got to get rid of them,
because mm-hmm.
You know, crazy was okay for a while, but this is like crazy, crazy.
Well, I mean, there's been a strain of conservatives like that for a while. The sort of neocons from the Trump era. These guys aren't good either. Like
no,
David,
oh
like,
God.
No.
No. But speaking of politics, now you told me something very interesting that I missed this mm-hmm. afternoon. Our very own NDP leader of the opposition, Jagmeet Singh. So what happened there?
I wasn't adhering to my digital detox, and I picked up my phone, and I happened to see on that stupid fucking Google suggestion feed that Jagmeet Singh had been kicked out of Parliament during the questioning hour because he allegedly called a Bloc Québécois MP a racist
yes.
and refused to apologize for it, apparently.
But why did he call? Was the guy being racist?
No, there was some sort of a yay or nay type situation, and this guy was the lone dissenting voice, nay.
Yeah.
And then there was some bickering that went on, and nothing was really heard, and then Jagmeet was heard calling him a racist, and then when confronted about the speaker on it, conceded that he did call him a racist and refused to apologize.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hardcore.
Yeah, hardcore.
Yeah, yeah. No. He's, you know what?
I don't want to talk about Jack Meets Singh.
Okay, we won't.
We'll talk about Jack Meets Singh one day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Not my.
You don't like him, do you?
No, I don't. Like him.
No. Just checking.
No. He's my fucking MP.
Is he?
He's a helicopter. Yeah, Burnaby. He's a helicopter MP. He never fucking lived here.
No, he didn't. So yeah, he had to. He had to come out here and basically take away writing from somebody else, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But people voted for him.
Yes, they did.
So he is now officially the leader of the opposition here in... And Canadian, you know, for those of you listening, if you're American or in other countries, Canadian politics is a whole other thing.
Yeah, it's
on another level of confusing... You know, like, here's something, I'll say this, I've said it before, yeah. I'll say it again. Canada is really good at taking the worst of the British systems and the worst of the American and fucking combining them.
Mm-hmm.
What? You know what I mean? And coming up with just, like, confusing shit that nobody can understand.
Yeah, it's so confusing that I think it breeds a certain higher level of apathy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, we love bitching about shit, but
we
won't actually do anything about it.
And it gets so confusing that we don't actually even know what the fuck to bitch about.
No.
Because it's hard to keep track of 4 to 5 parties.
I mean,
various agendas.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's lots of people in Alberta who are just, I don't know. Is Alberta not really part of Texas?
No.
It's got to be.
No.
Same kind of things
that's,
going
that's
on.
That's real Canada.
Real?
Real yeah. Canada.
They just hate us here in British
BC?
Columbia. Yeah.
Do you
fucking
think so?
Hate us. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
And can you blame them, though?
I can't. I mean,
honestly,
I mean, do you?
I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that they're saying. However, if I had to live next to...
Dude,
most of the province of British Columbia are pretty cool, but, you know, the lower mainland,
mm-hmm.
it's just that alone is just... If I had to live... It's like heaven... If your next-door neighbors were just, you know, a bunch of fucking Karens and married to Todd, you know what I mean?
And smarmy woke people.
And just, oh, yeah, like, yeah. Fuck right off.
Yeah, I mean, you can't even walk out your front door and pass by the neighborhood park without wanting to just fucking become a boogaloo.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. And we're going to be talking about that mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. And I learned a new term when I was researching all this stuff because mm-hmm. it was new to me.
Yeah.
And that, of course, was black pill. Oh. You know? Because there's the term, red pill. You've been red pilled, man. You're woke. You know what's going on, reality. But a certain subreddit group, the incels, use black pill.
Yeah. I took that red pill, and I've been, I mean, I was scouring the floor. I was looking under the couch for the blue pill because I want to take it back. I want to fucking take it back.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyways, we're going to take a little break right now because I got a little fucking audio thing going on. I just want to check it out, and then we'll
Alrighty.
Come back and we'll talk about the economy.
Mm hmm.
The fucking economy.
We're going to talk about degrowing the economy.
That doesn't sound like a winner.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, it is. Trust me.
Okay.
You're going to call me a Marxist and a communist and all that shit because I know you hate that kind of thing, but I'm telling you, it's the way to go.
It's growing on me. It's growing on me. As long as we get to do it with guns. Okay. We'll be back. Says I'm a douche.
Is that a way to come back from a break?
Well, 39-year-old man vaping.
Well, okay. You know what? Because I really just want to keep doing the show,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to reserve comments.
Okay. I gave up a lot of vices.
Me too. Don't get me started.
You quit smoking. I don't know how you feel. You were a fucking smoker.
Hell yeah.
Like,
damn straight.
When you quit smoking, I didn't think you were going to fucking do it.
You know what happened? Yeah. Honestly? Because I basically bullshitted myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh yeah, I tried the patch. That didn't work. You know, mm-hmm. I tried the gum. Mm-hmm. Tried cutting down. All that crap. And I was, you know, one day I was having a smoke break at work and somebody came out to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this is my only break, man. You like interrupting my signal, my nicotine. Fuck. And afterwards I realized I'm behaving like an addict.
No.
Yeah. Because I wasn't treating it that way, even though I was well aware it's an addiction.
Yeah.
But I wasn't treating it like one.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I went, oh, yes, I'm like lying about how much I smoke. I'm hiding it. I'm doing all kinds of shit.
I'm agitated when people come between me and it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was it. Mm-hmm. That, as soon as I, like, the light bulb went on, I was like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't kill anybody,
mm-hmm.
although I wanted to kill many people. But that's not really fair because that's me on a good day anyways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
So I just did the same thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything I learned in meetings in mm-hmm. the fellowship,
mm-hmm.
just applied those.
Yeah.
Those rules.
Well, I mean, I vape because I'm just trying to support local business.
Well,
local vape juice makers.
Yeah, because they're in trouble now.
Yeah.
Because now marijuana is legal, so.
Oh, God, don't get me started on that.
Yeah, okay. I won't. So here's the thing, degrowth, and why is this a thing, and why is it important? So GDP has been the...
Gross domestic product.
Yes, that's the bar. That's what everybody measures how well a nation is doing.
So that's the net amount of economic activity taking place in a country, whatever the fuck that means.
Right. And if you were to, it's like anything, it's like communism.
Mm-hmm.
Looks great on paper.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you forget about people and greed and all that shit. Yeah. So basically, if you had, you know, that level of spending and your GDP was really good and you met all your goals, and the entire nation was being served by that, it'd be great. But it's not. And it's proven time and time again that that's not the case. And so now with COVID-19 and the slowdown, everybody's had to reexamine that. Mm-hmm. So as a matter of fact, to the point that China has not set any new GDP goals. And America, the U.S., has not publish any GDP stats
mm-hmm.
this year because they know that, you know, COVID-19, the pandemic, lockdown, social distancing, all that stuff. But basically, a lot of people stop working.
And they don't want to set up a panic.
Yeah, they don't want to set up a panic. But also, what we're discovering with all this is that, first of all, the first thing that became important, well, to me anyways, was they established what are essential services and who are essential workers.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the people we need to support right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Just an aside, this entire conversation is based on the assumption or premise that COVID-19 is real and fake.
Okay. Don't even.
I'm just saying, you just have to set the philosophical underpinning of the discussion. I'm willing to have the discussion, but I just want to make sure that's out there.
That people know that. Okay. Yeah. Well, you can, when we finish recording here, you can go and talk to your little subreddit pals. And
I'll give them 8chan. That's where I get all my information from.
Have a good. Yep. Certain researchers have argued that our hyper focus on economic growth was problematic long before we knew the words SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19. The degrowth movement has advocated for reducing production of goods, working hours, and inevitably GDP, all with the end goal of reducing carbon emissions. With the economy at a standstill...
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
This is about global warming?
No, it's not. That's just one of the... That's like a bonus.
So and if global warming is real and poses a threat to us, then sort of decelerating the economy would be a good thing for that.
Well, yeah, because while the pandemic has had a tangible effect on people's ability to work and spend money, it's also led global carbon emissions to fall by more than 8% so far. That's just in a few months, right?
Is that a good thing?
Three times. Allegedly. That's three times the yearly emissions of Italy, right? So emissions dropped more than 1 billion tons in the first 4 months of 2020 compared to 2019.
Well, I wouldn't imagine that Italy has high emissions. I mean,
but they do.
What's the primary form of transport there?
Vespas.
Gondolas and Vespas? It's like
But anyways, this is close to the emissions reductions that are needed to meet the goals of the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement and stop the planet from warming more than 1.5 to 2 degrees centigrade. The underlying reason that economic growth is desirable for a country is that it implies that people who live there have access to money and all that is purchasable with that money.
So we're saying that the GDP is a big pie. And if there's a big pie,
everybody gets
more
slice
for everybody.
That's right. Only that's not the case, right? So healthcare, education, all that stuff, it implies that the government of that country can invest in big projects to protect its people from the threats they face. Since the Second World War, GDP has been used as the ultimate measure of a country's overall welfare. It represents the total value of everything produced in a country, both goods and services. But David Piling, I'm not sure which, the author of The Growth Delusion, Wealth, Poverty, and the Well-Being of Nations, said in an interview with the Washington Post, more stuff doesn't automatically equate to more well-being, or to put it even more colloquially, more happiness. Even if stuff was an indicator of well-being, GDP is a cumulative number. It being high doesn't mean that stuff is being distributed in a way that increases welfare. Currently, the richest 1% own more than 40% of the world's wealth. In the United States, higher incomes are increasing at faster rates than middle-class ones. So, we discovered, you know, what jobs were essential. Because we know, I've known for a long time, as I'm sure you have too, that, you know, that there are entire industries that are like made-up jobs.
Yeah, they're like leeches on an organism.
But
like the financial services industry.
Yeah, exactly. Hedge fund managers and all that shit. Corporate lawyers. Have we suffered in the last 4 months by not having these people? No.
But we do still have those people. The stock market is still pumping along.
Well, the stock market is still pumping along and is going to until such time that there is no need for it, that it's redundant.
You mean when we seize the means of production?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? So, but basically, we know that, we know after going through this, after the lockdown, if we didn't have people to work in grocery stores, you know, people to do fast food.
Working janitorial jobs.
Janitorial. All that stuff.
Manning the gas station.
Yeah, we would be absolutely screwed.
The jobs that if your child came and told you that that's what they wanted to do, you would be very concerned.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But they're important jobs. And honestly, so that, you know, that was something that kind of pissed me off during this whole thing. Because here in Vancouver, every night at 7 o'clock, they would have this round of applause and people would stand on their balconies. And drinking their fucking craft beer and shit.
Am I a bad person? When I saw that going on, it just kind of vomit in my mouth.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Well, and the thing
The sentiment is, I get it.
I get the sentiment.
Am I too cynical?
But what bothered me was, I mean, I was, you know, I was working through the entire thing. And in healthcare. But like, I ran into a guy in my building, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, you've been working the whole time? And he goes, oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah, where are you working? Grocery store. And I'm like, me? Now, you know, I'm dealing with people with serious mental health and addiction, and you would think, oh, you know, that's some job. But I looked at him, I was like, dude, that is serious. That's hardcore. They're like, how are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, it's not too bad, but you know, it's been busy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guy to me. That guy is a hero.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because he's not getting any pats on the back.
No.
And he's getting a lot of shit every day when he goes to work from crazy people who just, you know, like, oh, can we stock up, you know, because we just want to buy everything.
Or who are complaining about procedures and are going to take it out on the guy who makes $12 an hour at the till.
Cause, yeah,
like,
exactly.
He has a fucking say in anything that goes on at the grocery store.
Yeah. So the whole thing with the degrowth movement is that, you know, like, for a long time, there's lots of places in Europe that have been arguing for, and some people have actually got, like, 3 and 4 day work weeks. I know that during this pandemic, a lot of people have realized working at home, you know, I'm getting a ton done in, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, and I think corporations are realizing that, too.
But there is one thing that there is a danger, okay, because corporations are, you know, their bottom line is their bottom line.
Yeah.
Like, they're about making money. They're about satisfying their stockholders. Mm-hmm. So if they realize that, you know, that if everybody says, you know what, I don't need to be at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can do this from home. The corporations, most of them are going to go, you know, that's true, which means less overhead for us,
mm-hmm.
not as much electricity, not as much, you know what I mean? And then they're going to take that a step further and go, mm-hmm. well, you know, I could just fucking eliminate them altogether, because
mm-hmm.
if they're already working remotely, why can't a guy in India be working remotely?
Yep.
And I can pay him a quarter of what I'm paying these boneheads.
Yeah. Or if you're working hourly.
Yeah.
They can start putting in measures to monitor you more closely and make sure that, and I'm sure there are companies doing that right now.
Yeah, so they'll find a way. But at the end of the day, I think that if we move towards this, you know, before the show, you were talking about mental health, and it would go a long way into helping people with their mental health,
mm-hmm.
you know, and their quality of life in general.
Yeah.
Because we know that, you know, the economy and, you know, like the debt and all the debt, the deficit,
I don't even know what any of it fucking means.
Well, neither do that. They don't either. It's a load of shit. It's like numbers in a computer that they're moving around. But there's no actual real money.
But there's times in my life where I really care. It's like, oh, can't go in debt. It makes sense from an individual perspective. I don't want to go into debt in a household.
And
but I don't think a nation's a household.
No, but that's the other thing they're talking about is wiping out debt. Right?
Wiping out debt.
Yeah. Just telling everybody, credit card, mortgage, all that shit is gone. You no longer have it.
What?
Because it never existed in the first place.
So then
that is another part of this movement.
Oh, whoa.
Not
who's running this movement? This sounds like a fucking college kid movement now.
Well, I don't know. It's a bunch of people. It's a bunch of some
this
one.
Like
a, one
this
guy,
sounds like an anti-Jewish conspiracy.
One guy who is an anthropologist mm-hmm. in London, because he wrote the book "Bullshit Jobs," and David Graeber. Professor at the London School of Economics and a leader of the early Occupy Wall Street movement. And yeah, he's the guy that says millions of people from across the world, clerical workers, administrators, consultants, telemarketers, corporate lawyers, service personnel, and many others who are toiling away in meaningless, unnecessary jobs, and they know it. So yeah, he's one of the guys, but there's a lot of guys.
But to eliminate the institution of debt,
yeah, just
that's crazy.
That would be great.
It would be great, but how would you get money for anything?
Well, but then this goes back to,
what if you wanted to do something, make something? How are you going to get money?
I think most of the people that are talking about these ideas aren't talking about, nobody works, right? What they're talking about is like some kind of guaranteed basic income.
Mm-hmm.
You can also work. Mm-hmm. Like if you are a, a content creator,
mm-hmm.
and you've established yourself. You're a bit of,
as I call them, fuck arounders.
Yeah, which isn't that why we're doing this podcast?
Well, I was a born fuck arounder.
So you already established and everything. Yeah. Nobody's going to say, oh, don't bother doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you do it because you love it,
mm-hmm.
and you want to reach a lot of people. So, nobody's saying that you're never going to be able to make money, but what they are saying is that we're not ever going to be in a place again where 1% of the population owns 40% of the wealth globally.
Mm-hmm.
And like in some countries, 99%, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's looking in that kind of direction, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm. But I think that sometimes those numbers are a little bit, they're suspicious. Because we talked about how a lot of this wealth is created through playing games, financial yes. games. So I think a lot of this wealth isn't real wealth. It's wealth that they created, fabricated
yes.
out of thin air.
Absolutely.
Like, I was looking at, I'm into aliens, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm into aliens.
We know.
So I was reading a book yesterday uh-huh. about aliens and various sightings that occurred in the 50s. And the author's rattling off all these different jets. And I'm a visual guy, so I want to see these jets. So I looked them up, and it's a F-51 Sabre jet, one of the first jet fighters in the U.S. and Royal Canadian Air Force, right? And I'm looking at the price of that jet in 1951. It's like $250,000 a jet.
Yeah.
Rate of inflation today, I don't know what $250,000 is. But it's not the fucking $100 million a jet.
No way.
That is going right now. And that was top of the line at that time. But the price has inflated greatly.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you what, I'll just, to kind of
wrap. What I'm saying is it's a bit of a grift. There's.
Oh, it's a total grift. Yeah. What are you kidding? But if I'll leave you with this, on the whole topic of degrowing the economy mm-hmm. and basically, I'm really surprised, by the way, that you haven't, slandered me once with Marxism or communism or nothing.
I am running a parallel track to normal human development in terms of ethics and political values.
Really?
I think when I was younger,
yeah,
I was a hardcore atheist scientist.
Mm-hmm.
I believed in governmental austerity, personal responsibility, small government, libertarian wow. value. That's where I was at. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was
I guess.
It was in the air.
Well, I tell you.
When people were going to APEC protests, I was like, oh, look at those fucking hippie social justice warrior. I probably didn't say social justice warrior because that word didn't come out until later. But, but I'm growing softer with age as opposed to harder.
I tell you what, if you ever want to, for the benefit of our listeners, yeah. I know you and I have spoken yeah. about this before, but just Google the Powell Memorandum.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of an open letter to corporate America back in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
Saying, look, things have gotten out of hand
mm-hmm.
and we are losing out
mm-hmm.
and we need to be making money. And here's how we should do it. And we should start by defunding all the liberal arts programs mm-hmm. and all the universities, because that's where all that radical shit is coming from.
That's where all that sass comes from.
Yeah, fucking hippies, right?
We don't need no backtalk.
So, so what we need to do is basically just fund in universities. We fund the business schools so they're cranking out obedient employees.
Mm-hmm.
And then we fund the athletic departments. And, because we can send them to war.
And we fund the STEM.
Yeah. So just Powell memorandum, and it'll give you a good idea of how we got to where we're at now, especially when you talk about that level of inflation.
But the one thing I think that's that strikes me about this what's this degrowth movement?
Yes.
I don't see how you get people to buy into sort of a degrowth movement without a spiritual perspective.
You know what? This is a totally... What it is people, when you start to bring this shit
up... It's anti-materialist.
People, they're like, no way, it'll never happen, it'll never fly, you can't do that. What are you, an idiot? But you know why? Is because they've been fed this bullshit for so long. This is like totally a red pill blue pill thing, right? It's like, no, that doesn't exist. But actually, all the things that you're defending don't really exist.
Hey, I'm not defending anything,
you know. Not you personally, but you know what I mean, when people get upset about, like, no, you can't have a universal income, no, people can't just have free housing, what are you, crazy? Human rights, fuck.
But why the fuck not?
And that's what you should be asking you, is why not? Not why. So,
I mean, the argument is where we're going to get the money from.
Since it's all made up anyways.
Well, I mean, there is certain money that's not made up. But
we're not on the gold standard. So, like, our paper money doesn't represent, you know, shit little gold sitting somewhere.
You just do it up. It's a giant societal experiment. See what happens.
I agree. But more importantly, another group, okay, has come along and once again ruined Hawaiian shirts for middle-aged white guys.
Who ruined it first?
Well, so many. You know what I mean?
Who wore a Hawaiian shirt? Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck, yes. Yeah. Magnum P.I.
Sweet mustache. He didn't ruin mustaches, that's for fucking sure.
I wish he had of. But, yeah, I think that's when I started wearing Hawaiian shirts, was Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
Such a great shirt. Mm-hmm. Turns out Tom Selleck is like a crazy right-wing Republican, former director of, like, the NRA.
Don't quote us on that.
Well, no, he was on the board.
He was on the board, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I digress. You know, you have to separate your heroes from the reality of the actors.
Yes, actors are they're
pretenders. Actors are actors,
they're,
right?
They're pretenders.
Sure.
Don't listen to them about anything.
No. So anyways, the Boogaloo movement. These are the guys. They're wearing Hawaiian shirts. And there's like some kind of weird... it's an ideology. I don't even know what it is. Apparently neither does anybody else.
I don't think it's an
ideology. So they're showing up right now at a lot of the anti-racism, George Floyd demonstrations and stuff like that, and they're trying to foment
a revolution.
They're trying to second civil war,
and I think that's really the only statement that we can make about them, is that they want to, or insinuate that they want to start a second civil war. Beyond that there's a wide amount of beliefs in that.
And this is an online subculture.
So
these guys they have white supremacists in their, you know, chat rooms, but they're not white supremacist organizations.
This is a fucking LARP. You know what a LARP is?
Yeah, live action role playing.
This is like kids dressing up who have spent too much time in the immaterial world of the internet with their mind in a screen, and they think that a fucking war is something that they want to do. I will bring a boogaloo to my house. I will beat the living fucking shit out of you. Leave your gun at home. I don't have a gun. I will beat the shit out of you. I will leave you a bloody, tattered mess, and then tell me if you want to fucking bleed for your country, or if you want to bleed for this fucking electric boogaloo revolution.
Well,
because the second your nose got bloody, you will run. Because these are fucking pussies.
So pussies
bought too many guns.
One of the guys, I'll get to it in a minute. So the deal is, believers in Boogaloo ideology, a focus on visible gun ownership, with some, not all, with some advocating for a violent civil war against the federal government, have shown up to protests in Minneapolis, Las Vegas, and other cities, sometimes wearing Hawaiian shirts based on a movement in joke and carrying large guns.
Okay, so this is mid to late 80s, 90s militia movement that's funny.
Well, the whole thing apparently started as a joke.
Yeah.
But they, like, just recently in Las Vegas on Wednesday, federal prosecutors announced charges against three alleged members of the Boogaloo movement with military ties, accusing them of taking part in a conspiracy to spark violence at protests held over the weekend, and charging them with possessing a Molotov cocktail. And in Columbia, South Carolina, an EMS worker believed to have an affiliation to the Boogaloo movement was arrested and fired from his job for roles in riots that took place in that city. But here's the in-jokes, okay, from their subreddit, 8chan, or wherever the hell they're from. Boogaloo.
It was 4chan.
Was it?
And it was 8chan. Now it's 8kun.
What the hell is that?
Can I say that word, kun?
I don't know. Okay, is that the name of it?
That's what it's called. That's what the latest iteration is. But I don't know if it's not on the 8kun board. It's on like the sub boards.
Oh, okay. The sub board.
The sub.
Boogaloo. The name derives from the movie Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo. And it's a, so apparently because it's like
a shitty sequel.
A shitty sequel.
So the joke is like their civil war would be like a shitty sequel to the good one that happened before?
Okay. And it's loosely connected anti-government movement that has included some white nationalists who believe in an accelerationist ideology that encourages spurring civil disorder to eventually foment the breakdown of the political system entirely. But the movement also includes...
So we can defeat corporations and the mindless materialism that's ruining our life. These guys...
And then shoot everybody.
Wait, we need these guys.
Do we?
Isn't this what we were just talking about?
I really don't know.
Okay.
Because they're the FBI.
Oh, fuck.
Department of Homeland Security.
Oh, for fuck's sakes. Are these your sources?
No, but they're saying they don't know how to categorize them.
Because it's a fucking LARP.
Well, these guys, they have like, they have patches on their bulletproof vests,
okay,
on their Kevlar. And one of them says alphabet soup.
Yeah.
Right? And that is a reference to FBI, ATF.
The three letter agency. So they hate they like guns.
They love guns.
They don't like the government.
They don't want anybody taking their guns away.
So they're kind of like Second Amendment libertarian types?
Kind of,
loosely.
I don't know.
They hate fucking cops. So
yeah, they hate cops.
We got that in common.
So the vaguely ironic jokiness has remained among people who identify as Boogaloo boys. For example, some people who follow the movement use the terms Big Igloo or Big Luau to avoid saying Boogaloo on social media platforms.
Like a pig roast.
Yeah, and because they roast pigs.
That's
at
pretty
Luau's.
Good. That's pretty good.
And that's where the Hawaiian shirt thing came in. So Hawaiian shirts, sartorial necessity at any Big Luau had already become a way for individuals to signify their anticipation of the coming civil war. They wear them with full combat gear. Common sight at many of the protests. And open source material suggests that for now, the apocalyptic anti-government politics of the Boogaloo Boys are not monolithically racist / neo-Nazi. As we have observed, some members rail against police shootings of African Americans and praise black nationalist self-defense groups.
I also read a, not on Facebook, but I heard it secondhand about one of the Boogaloo Luau pages on Facebook that was shouting out support for gay, lesbian, and transgendered Boogaloo members as well. So they're defying being put in the type of box that you want to put them into, which is they're Nazis.
But here's the thing. I guarantee you that, you know, 95% of members of this Boogaloo movement are probably white guys. So they have, again, like, white privilege comes into it, right?
It's not white privilege. It is.
It's
not white privilege. It's called sitting in front of your computer in your mom's fucking basement for too fucking long.
No, but when these guys go out in public, so you see it all the time. You see photos of it. You see video footage, right? So, you know, some fucking bonehead wearing Kevlar, you know, with automatic weapons and, you know, got a pistol as a sidearm and all kinds, like, magazines, rounds and rounds of ammunition. And nobody says shit, right? Because they own them legally.
Yep.
And however, wherever they happen to be, the law permits them to do this. But I'm telling you, even legally, if that was a black guy, fuck, he would not last a second. He would...
Well, I mean, that goes without...
He would step foot out of his door and they would shoot him. Mm-hmm. He'd never have a chance to go, actually, I own these legally. But yeah, it's there's something to me really fascinating about the movements because
how did I start this entire... I could solve this.
Okay.
I can solve this.
Okay, solve it.
How do we start this podcast?
How do we start it?
I said, get the fuck off the internet.
Yes, you did.
Because no matter what type of strange fetish or predilection you have, whether it's based on violence, quirky ideology,
yeah,
sexual, you get on the internet at fucking 2:30 in the morning, you can become fucking twisted.
Well, the thing is, though, these movements, so like, you know, kind of extreme forms of libertarianism, there is a movement in Idaho. So, you know, Ruby Ridge, right?
No.
Ruby Ridge, Randy Weaver was a former Green Beret.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, former Army Ranger. And he started kind of hanging around that fringe of like white nationalist, white mm-hmm. supremacy kind of movement. He packed up his whole family and he moved to this place called Ruby Ridge in mm-hmm. Idaho and was totally off the grid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, totally off the grid. Just a cabin that they had built themselves. And he was a licensed gun dealer, mm-hmm. collector/dealer. So he had like a shitload of weapons. And then the FBI, in their infinite wisdom, tried to set him up by, basically they had infiltrated one of these groups and, you know, they tried to buy sawed-off shotguns from Randy Weaver,
mm-hmm.
who sold them
mm-hmm.
because he needed money. For no other reason. And they bust them for that. But it didn't stick, I think. Anyways, it ended up being a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI shot and killed his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And wounded his kids. Shot his dog. It was a clusterfuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just crazy. And living up there in this neck of the woods was a retired Army colonel, Bo... I can't remember his last name. And he was one of these libertarian, you know, prepper guys who mm-hmm. had a little community. They end up calling him in,
mm-hmm.
right? And said, you got to talk to him. And he was like, fuck you. I hate you guys. Why would I help you?
Mm-hmm.
But the FBI was like, you know, there's women and children in there. So do you want to be known as the guy who didn't help?
Also, you're not allowed to not talk to the FBI.
Yeah. And also, they appealed to his former military background. He goes, you guys are both former Green Berets.
Yeah.
So he ended up, killing his wife, wounding him. And, I met Randy Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
don't ask me where, because it's going to sound weird. Sounds weird even to me.
I'm sure you weren't buying Asada.
I wasn't buying guns, but I was.
Bullshit!
No, I was at a gun show in Idaho.
Oh.
at the time, I was still doing comedy.
Comedy, that's what you called it.
Yes.
Okay.
And let me tell you, during the day, mm-hmm. some of these small towns, there is nothing to do. Yeah. So I ended up at this gun show, and he was there as book signing, selling his book. Yeah. And had a chat with him. But what an experience that was. These fucking gun shows are crazy, man.
When there's nothing to do.
I looked around that room. Well, it was not a room. It was like an arena. Mm-hmm. It was like a hockey arena. And I looked around that room. And I went, you know, honestly, I'm listening to the conversations. I'm looking at the amount of firepower in here. And I'm thinking, if they ever decided to go for it, we'd all be fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, scary shit. But anyways.
Back to these boogaloos.
Yeah, back to the boogaloos. I don't think they're on the same, same level, same wavelength as preppers or anybody like that. I think what you said, it is a bit of a, it's middle-aged guys living in their mom's basement
on the
internet.
Or young guys, it's fantasy.
It is, but...
It's anti-government fantasy.
But just, I don't understand how places like Reddit and the internet in general breed these movements. Because you remember the guy in Toronto who ran people over with his van.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time I heard about the incels, which is short for involuntary celibates. And these guys, the boogaloo, I don't know if they tie in with the incels, but the incels are very much associated with right wing ideology.
I think I don't know. Do these boogaloo guys look like they're getting laid?
Oh fuck no.
Maybe a little bit. More than the incels. Because that's a fundamental aspect
probably.
Of being an incel, you're not getting laid.
But they're members of an online subculture who define themselves as unable to find a romantic or sexual partner despite desiring one.
Once again, get the fuck off your computer.
I know. discussions in incel forums are often characterized by resentment, misogyny, misanthropy, self-pity, self-loathing, racism, a sense of entitlement to sex, and the endorsement of violence against sexually active people. It sounds like every cop I've ever met.
So this is pretty much all the twisted nonsense that comes out of being jealous because you're not getting laid.
Yes. And,
that's how complicated it is.
Ironically, the incel site was actually started by a Canadian woman. So it didn't start out to be what it is.
Okay.
Right?
That's very interesting.
It started out as she was basically 1993, a Canadian university student, only by her first name, Alana, created a website in order to discuss her sexual inactivity with others.
Now, I'll tell you one thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is no woman in this world who could be involuntarily celibate. Just saying.
Wait, you don't think so?
No.
What about nuns?
They volunteered to be nuns.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. Involuntarily celibate?
If a girl wants to get some, she can get some.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yes. Absolutely.
I'll put my number on the show notes.
Okay. We'll run it on the credits on the YouTube channel. And they also have the term being black-pilled. Mm. I spoke about that earlier. Not red pill, blue pill. Black pill is a set of beliefs that are commonly held against members of incel communities, such as biological determinism, fatalism, and defeatism for unattracted people.
They've given up.
Yeah. Someone who believes in the black pill is referred to as black-pilled. The black pill has been described by Vox correspondent Zach Beauchamp as a profoundly sexist ideology that amounts to a fundamental rejection of women's sexual emancipation, labeling women shallow, cruel creatures who... So they're pissed off because they can't get laid, but they think this is going to get them laid?
Oh, man.
Talking like that? What the... Crazy. So the woman who started the site, they spoke to her in 2018. Alana said of her project, it definitely wasn't a bunch of guys blaming women for their problems. That's a pretty sad version of this phenomenon that's happening today.
I mean, most of my problems are caused by women or a woman, but
of your own doing.
It's usually not.
Yeah, yeah, I can totally relate to that. Not listening to my wife has been the source of many problems.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so but then these guys got like deadly because their little, you know, snivelly, whiny, I can't get laid, turned to maybe we should kill and rape women.
And
that's okay.
I have a fucking solution.
Yes?
From get experience. Off the from, okay, no. Okay, so you don't want to get off the internet.
No.
Okay? There was a time where I was celibate and it didn't bother me. I've been involuntarily celibate before. I just couldn't get any. And
yeah.
That's tough. Oh. That's rough. I'm saying it's rough.
As a former drunk,
yeah.
Man,
yeah.
But I was involuntarily celibate
out there,
a long time.
There's a thing out there called heroin.
Yes.
And if you do heroin,
uh-huh.
You don't care about sex. It doesn't matter. So I'm just saying, if you're out there and if you're contemplating running over a bunch of women out there or men or whatever, just happy people out there that you're jealous of, just go get some Bitcoin, get on the dark web, and get yourself some heroin.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is coming from a recovered addict.
I'm just saying.
This is why you can't get a fucking sponsor, man.
Oh,
come up with shit like that.
But it's, hey, wouldn't you rather someone get loaded than run over people with a bus?
Yes. Yeah. That's yeah.
I mean, it's a shitty. I'm putting you in a shitty choice situation.
So the Alec Manassian, that was the guy's name. Manassian. Mm-hmm. He was the 2018 Toronto van attack suspect. And Mark Lapine, the 1989 Ecole Polytechnique massacre. I got something to say about that. Recently, with the Canadian government, Trudeau, and the ban on assault. Type weapons
mm-hmm.
or assault style weapons
mm-hmm.
That is just a political bullshit move.
Yeah,
he does not give a fuck, because when the Polytechnique massacre happened in 1989, if they gave a shit, they would have banned assault weapons then.
Yeah,
but and, they haven't. It's just like,
and I mean the recent slaughter that occurred in the Maritimes, all those guns were procured in the States or illegally.
That's right.
But it's that thing where, I mean, Trudeau's smart. He is a good politician. He is going to take a crisis and react immediately to it, especially one that seems, he'll make a reaction that is politically expedient, like the gun thing. The gun thing is easy.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Not necessarily based in fact, though.
So these guys, these incel guys, so there was Alec Manassian. Mm-hmm. The original guy was Elliot Roger, mm-hmm. Perpetrator of the 2014 Isla Vista killings. And they frequently refer to him, and he made this reference of, what is it, the fine gentleman, or where the hell was it? Anyways. So these guys basically took something that was, it reminds me of Gamergate, mm-hmm. and I'm sure there's some crossover in Gamergate, which was another weird basement sub-Reddit kind of thing about one of these gamer guys, his girlfriend, created a game,
mm-hmm.
and but it was to do with depression.
Mm-hmm.
And
that sounds like a shitty game.
Well, that's what these guys. So it's a gaming, apparently, is very, very misogynistic, male dominated kind of industry.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't want women designing games,
mm-hmm.
and it was about depression. And then she got a good review in one of the gamer magazines. And then this guy accused her of sleeping with the guy who interviewed her.
See, no, here's.
And then this became like
so here's,
fucking massive.
Here's my problem with the internet. Who gives a fuck? This sounds like the least fucking interesting story
I know
I've ever fucking heard.
But the thing is, what it leads, you're right, except for the fact that all these crazy gamer guys basically harassed people into leaving their homes, moving away, changing their names.
Mm-hmm.
They like death threats, the whole nine yards, over fucking video games. Mm-hmm. This is why we need to
get off the internet
and degrow the economy.
Degrow the economy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's my rant.
The internet is like a giant fucking seething mass. It's our collective unconscious. And when you ask me, it's like, how can this shit come out of the internet? I mean, we work in a field where we see and hear some of the darkest aspects of humanity. The type of abuse and trauma that we're confronted by is dark. So it doesn't fucking surprise me. This stuff feels light sometimes.
I don't know. To me, it's just, it's scary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also that, you know, these are guys that, come on now, before the internet, that must have just got beat up in high school a lot.
And that's sad.
It is, kind of.
It is sad.
But I guess.
It is. Come on, man. Like, it's... Put yourself in the shoes. You're just sitting in a fucking basement by yourself. You got no friends. Your life consists of fucking sitting out there reaching at the computer. You think you're hanging out there all day thinking about all the cool kids out there fucking drinking, smoking, partying, getting laid, and you're not there, and you're not doing it. No, you can't. You're just grinding on it. Just fucking grinding and grinding and grinding.
Yeah, but it's not like these. So there's a big difference between a kid who gets bullied.
Yeah.
Like there was when I went to high school. There was a guy who got bullied, and he committed suicide.
Yeah.
That's wrong. That's shameful. Yeah. That's, like, fucking nasty.
But
these guys are not getting bullied. These guys are just losers sitting in their mom's basement.
That's the thing. I'm not saying that what these guys are fucking doing is right, or that they're on the right path to sort of rectify the issue that they're experiencing. Because it's not. Obviously, there's an aspect of, like... poor social intelligence or inability to relate to people in a meaningful way. But that comes from a place too, right? And I could, I don't know, I can put myself in that spot and imagine it's...
That's good.
It's not easy.
So your empathy is getting much better.
I have recently developed empathy.
So you're giving a little stretch there. Yeah.
I've
taken her for a test drive.
Recently, I've also begun to see color. It's the big thing. I didn't see it. I mentioned this a long time ago.
Okay. Well, listen,
degrow the economy.
Okay. I'm there. Degrow the economy.
I think that one thing we need to work on there is that if you want to degrow the economy, there has to be an ethical and spiritual conversation that accompanies it.
Okay.
Because if we're degrowing it, why are we degrowing it? To what end? Are we saying that sort of material accumulation is not going to satisfy your spirit? So what is going to?
Well, and let me just, I just want to end with this. I'm saying this into the camera for those who are listening and not watching. You cannot, you crazy fucking boogaloo libertarian asshole, cannot take away my right to wear Hawaiian shirts without being arrested by the FBI.
Yeah, that's some bullshit.
There, I got that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for stopping by, folks. Mm-hmm. It's been a delight, as usual. Please tell your friends. The podcast is Wallace Hartley Presents, and we are available currently on Spotify and Podbean. Check us out there. You can also catch the Wallace Hartley Presents YouTube channel. That's all you got to type in, Wallace Hartley Presents. And then you can also see our smiling, handsome faces.
I'm fairly sure
that
this podcast cannot be sunk.
I don't think it can.
It's unsinkable.
It is.
Yeah.
It is an unsinkable podcast. Tell your friends.
You've never heard that before.
No, I never had. Thanks for listening, folks. It's been a slice. Please join us again next week. And eventually we're going to have guests and stuff like that.
Oh, you know what we should talk about, though? We went to this Boogaloo stuff. We should go a little deeper into the madness. We should talk about QAnon.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Let's get fucking crazy.
All
right. Next time, maybe we'll talk about QAnon a little bit. Maybe... hopefully we got some more Canadian subscribers and let them know what's going on with the QAnon movement, because it is fucking nuts.
Well,
and there are governmental representatives who are going to be running in the next election who are QAnon conspiracy supporters.
Oh, God. That's all we need. More bullshit in the government. Anyways, thank you for stopping by, folks. Thanks for listening. Catch us wherever, Spotify, YouTube. You guys are awesome. And have yourselves a good rest of the week, rest of the day, whatever you're doing, and try your best, folks.
Boogaloo not... what?
Try your best not to be a dick. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.